Welcome to the market, sponsored by the CME Group. Dateline, Scottsdale, Arizona. Friday, April 20th, 2018. Hello again. Along with Max Armstrong, I'm Orion Samuelson, joining you for our weekly get-together as we look at markets from Wall Street to wheat fields. And we do appreciate your joining us for this report every week. And as we begin by taking a look at Wall Street, we always have something to worry about, whether it be trade wars or other geopolitical factors. But today it was interest rates. And one analyst said there continues to be some concern over interest rates and their potential impact on stocks. There's also been a little bit of a lack of momentum in this earnings period. Not that earnings weren't good enough, but company forecasts often weren't strong enough to make the market continue to rise. So let's take a look at where the market ended the day and the week. On Wall Street, the Dow Jones down 205 points for the day at 24,459. The S&P 500 down 23 points at 2670. The NASDAQ down 92 points at 7145. For the week, the Dow was up 0.4%. The S&P 500 up 0.5%. And the NASDAQ up 0.6%. So let's take a look at some of the factors that did come out in the market today besides the worry over interest rates. Despite Friday's decline today, we did close higher for the week. And equity investors were jittery as the 10-year Treasury yield reached its highest level since January of 2014 as a bond sell-off continued for a second day, driving the yield curve steeper after 2 weeks of flattening. And when yields are high, investors favor bonds over stocks, including sectors such as consumer staples and real estate, which promise high dividends and slow, predictable growth. But high interest rates can boost bank profits to the financial sector, managing to show a 0.05% gain, making it the best performer out of the S&P's 11 industry sectors. So checking some of the other events, Philip Morris International had a second day of declines after getting crushed due to weak shipment volumes in its quarterly report. Apple fell 4%, making it the biggest drag on the major indices. That came after Morgan Stanley estimated weak demand for the latest iPhones. A day after, Taiwan Semiconductor raised fears about softer smartphone sales. Alphabet, Google, Facebook, Intel, and Microsoft, among the major technology companies reporting next week. Now, the S&P 500 companies are expected to report their strongest first quarter profit gains in 7 years. Of the 87 companies that have reported so far, 79% have topped profit expectations, according to Thomson Reuters. So what do we look at next week? Well, we're in the heart of the quarterly earnings report season, and there'll be a slew of Dow components reporting results next week, starting with Coca-Cola, 3M, Caterpillar, Travelers Companies, United Technologies, and Verizon Communications. They're all reporting on Tuesday. Visa and Boeing will report Wednesday, Intel and Microsoft on Thursday, and oil majors Chevron and ExxonMobil will report on Friday. Investors and analysts will watch for clues about where property and casualty insurers stand in 2018 when Travelers announces first quarter results. United Technologies expected to report higher first quarter revenue as it benefits from strong demand for air travel. Visa expected to report a rise in second quarter profit. Customers are using their credit cards more to shop and to use services. Boeing expected to report higher first quarter profit and revenue as it benefits from robust demand for air travel. Intel likely to report an increase in first quarter revenue and profit, helped by strength in its data center business. And Microsoft is expected to report an increase in profit for the third quarter, driven by strong demand for its cloud computing services and a stabilizing personal computer market. Now, in addition to earnings reports, markets will work through another spate of economic figures that include gross domestic product and labor costs on Friday, durable goods and weekly jobless claims on Thursday, consumer confidence and new home sales on Tuesday, and U.S. economic growth likely to have slowed at an annual rate of 2% in the first quarter compared to a 2.9% in the final 3 months of 2017. The U.S. Conference Board is expected to show its Consumer Confidence Index drop to a reading of 126 in April from a March reading of 127.7. And sales of new single-family homes estimated to have risen to an annual rate of 630,000 units last month. And that would be up from the 618,000 units in February. So some of the individual stocks that will be getting attention next week. Social media giant Facebook expected to report a rise in first quarter revenue as it continues to benefit from its mobile ad business and its focus on videos. Investors will watch for any update on Facebook's plan on data protection after it became embroiled in a scandal surrounding the misuse of its users' data by data analytics consultancy Cambridge Analytica. Also, microblogging website operator Twitter expected to report higher first quarter profit and revenue as it continues to benefit from efforts to cut costs. Oh, the automobile industry will come into play next week. General Motors on Thursday will report first quarter results, and investors will watch for signs that higher steel and materials prices or trade tensions are affecting the company's outlook. Ford Motor Company also scheduled to release first quarter results on Wednesday. AT&T, the number two U.S. wireless carrier, expected to report a growth in first quarter profit Wednesday, helped by higher subscriber additions, and investors will be looking out for any update on the completion of the deal between AT&T and Time Warner. On Thursday, Time Warner is expected to report a rise in first quarter profit, driven by strong growth in its HBO business. Comcast also expected to report its first quarter results on Wednesday. U.S. cable operator Charter Communications expected to report a drop in profit for the first quarter when it comes out with its numbers on Friday. Online retail giant Amazon.com expected to post an increase in first quarter revenue on Thursday, thanks to solid growth in its cloud computing and retail businesses. Chipmaker Qualcomm likely to report a drop in second quarter revenue and net income on Wednesday due to softer demand for smartphones in China. And analysts and investors will be on the lookout for comments on NXP acquisition and the Apple dispute. E-commerce company eBay expected to post an increase in first quarter revenue and profit Wednesday. Also on Wednesday, Viacom, the owner of MTV, Comedy Central, and Nickelodeon, is expected to report a drop in second quarter revenue. Drug maker Biogen expected to report its first quarter results before the markets open on Tuesday. The company is banking on Spinraza, its treatment for spinal muscular dystrophy, to offset slowing growth of its top-earning multiple sclerosis drug. Tuesday, Harley-Davidson, the U.S. motorcycle maker, expected to report a drop in first quarter profit and revenue due to continued weakness in demand for its motorcycles as younger, more price-sensitive buyers hesitant to embrace the brand as previous generations have done. And exchange operator NASDAQ expected to report an increase in first quarter profit on Wednesday. U.S. hotel operator Hilton Worldwide Holdings expected to report higher first quarter profit and revenue on Thursday, supported by continued strength in foreign markets, particularly in the Asia-Pacific region. So as you can see, it's going to be a mixture of companies and interest reporting next week. Toymaker Mattel expected to report a drop in quarterly earnings. D.R. Horton, the biggest U.S. home builder by number of homes sold, expected to report an increase in profit and revenue. And it'll be interesting to see what happens with Starbucks. It reports its second quarter results on Thursday. And it'll be early, of course, to see any results on its income because of the Philadelphia incident, but traders will certainly be watching for that. So all in all, it's a busy week on Wall Street as earnings reports come out along with the economic reports from the U.S. government. Well, we're going to talk to a young lady trader from Amarillo, Texas, when we come back with Max Armstrong and his guest on The Markets, sponsored by the CME Group.
For more than 150 years, CME Group has been built with your confidence. Without it, we simply wouldn't be in business. Today, we continue to work on new and better ways to protect you and grow your confidence in the markets. After all, it's our vigilance that brings you the peace of mind you need today and in the future. CME Group. Advance with confidence.
Our guest this weekend in the studio, Donna Hughes from Daniels Trading, Amarillo, Texas. Can we say also that you're getting ready to shift roles and join a new company?
You certainly can. I will be taking the position of Vice President of Grain and Risk Management for Cape & Son, a grain and cottonseed merchandiser out of Abilene, Texas, and that begins on May 1st.
Will the grains change? I mean, the grains that you work with, will they be any different than what you have?
You know, right now I service a variety of producers from cattle to cotton, soybeans, corn, the whole deal. Basically, what we'll be focusing on at this point is developing a program for wheat producers, buying from wheat producers, selling to end users, and helping those producers to hedge cash sales in the market. I'll also be working with some of the other salesmen who sell DDGs and cottonseed to dairies. So it's going to be a little bit different, but I think I'm really going to enjoy it.
Let's talk about wheat. Since you mentioned that, is there any hope for that wheat that has looked so bleak? Will it be improving at all before harvest, or is it pretty much being written off by many of these producers?
We've got a lot of producers down in our area that have basically disastered out at this point, and it's been a real rough go of it for the last 2 or 3 years with wheat producers. So, you know, heartfelt to say that this year it's not going to be a good season for most of them.
I was thinking the other day about some of your customers who must have been reacting to the news of a 170%+ tariff slapped on grain sorghum by China. That was the announcement. And some of your folks have seen a nice market in China for the grain sorghum they produce at times in the past couple of years. What reaction did you hear about that?
Well, you know, of course, there's concern anytime you have some type of news like that. I think, you know, it's a pretty much a wait-and-see attitude as to, are they really going to go through with this? Is this a bargaining chip? You know, what's the situation going to develop into? But at the same time, you always want to err to caution. And, you know, in case there is something that may happen, you want to make sure you've got your bottom line protected.
Hasn't the market handled pretty well all of this chatter about trade back and forth between the United States and China?
You know, we've had some pretty volatile markets at times, but I think, you know, traders are smart enough to realize that, you know, there may be, you know, some things that develop and some things that don't. You know, talk is talk, and we'll have to see if, you know, that comes to action.
But overall, the price depressant hasn't been that bad, has it, from all of the trade talk?
Not really. I would say, you know, with the grains and the cotton, not so much. We did have a pretty big sell-off in the livestock.
Right.
And, you know, that did, you know, rattle some of the producers to a degree. But, you know, we're coming back on that. We've got some seasonals that are coming up that, you know, should get those markets higher. And so hopefully, you know, we could shrug off that news and get this market going again.
Yeah, let us not forget that for that pork market, 25% of what we produce in the United States has to go into export, correct?
Yeah, you know, there is a good amount of pork that we do export. One of the questions that we've had, you know, throughout this whole deal in regard to the pork is the fact that, you know, the Chinese do own one of the biggest pork packers in the United States, Smithfield Packing. And so, you know, it's kind of like, you know, what type of deal are they going to put together? How would that affect them in that way? It's kind of like shooting yourself in the foot kind of thing. So, you know, we're really watching to see how this develops.
That's a good point. In terms of beef, we don't export as much as we do from our pork production, correct?
That is correct. You know, we have seen some programs of late coming into place. There's a lot of restrictions on beef to China. You know, that could be a very volatile situation if you have something that's rejected. We do work with a few folks that are currently in development with programs like that, and the restrictions on it are pretty heavy.
Let's switch grains. Let's talk a little bit about corn and soybean as we are coming into this planting season. Many growers would like to be in the planting season, but here we are. You know, we're looking at the calendar. We're here at about the third week of April. We're not too late for most of these folks, even yet, are we?
No. I mean, we still have a few weeks, and, you know, as the weather gets out in front of us, you know, hopefully we can get some drier weather and something more conducive to getting folks out into the field.
Would it be correct to assume that the farmers are probably more concerned about it than the market is right now?
Probably at this point, that would be a yes.
As the weekly crop bulletins come along, we'll watch to see if indeed the progress is advancing. Is there some kind of a benchmark that you have in mind as you look at those early days of May, where we ought to be in terms of getting the corn crop planted first to begin with?
Well, you know, I think, you know, our weekly updates that we get from USDA on Monday afternoons to, you know, give us the planting progress. Those are, you know, pretty good guidelines to be looking at. We'll get our first update on soybeans this coming Monday, and we'll see what USDA has to say about that. But, you know, the past report that we did get last Monday on corn showed it just a bit behind. But like you say, you know, we're early in the season, and so I expect that number will increase as we go forward.
The farmer would hasten to point out that you don't have a crop if you don't get it planted. But a number of agronomists have shared in recent weeks that early planting is just one element, that there are other factors that ultimately, at the end of the game, can make even more of a difference in the yield at the final harvest of the season. So why do we pay so much attention to planting progress?
Oh, I think, you know, it's, you know, the start of the season, anticipation of what may be to come, and, you know, just probably the more out front you can get in those ways, the better you feel about, you know, what's to come at the end. But, you know, just because you don't get the early planting done like you want to, again, you know, with yield, I mean, you could certainly be in a good position at the end of the season.
What's your thought about price spike during the planting progress, especially if we continue to have some cold weather at times here over the next 6 weeks or so, Donna?
Those are good opportunities for producers if they feel comfortable to either cash forward contracts with elevators or to take advantage of the markets in putting on some options or selling futures to ensure their price.
Many growers will be so focused, though, on what needs to be done in the field. Isn't it a little bit difficult to pay attention to marketing at that time?
It is kind of difficult, although what we tell our producers is, you know, it's kind of like get to know your customer kind of thing. You tell me what it is you have to plant, you know, what your plan is for marketing going forward, and when those opportunities come, then we'll be sure to get with you before you're supposed to take action so that you're not too late for the market.
So it's important to not just plan what you're doing in the field, but to plan during the planting season what might need to be done in terms of marketing.
Absolutely. That's one of the big points that we make to producers that come on board with us is you need to make a plan, and you can always tweak your plan, but at least get some sort of roadmap going forward so that when the opportunities in the market do come, you could take advantage of that, stay close with your broker, keep them informed, and you've got a bunch of partners out there that want to help you be successful, and so you need to pull on all those resources.
Donna, is it still your sense, though, that many producers do not do that kind of marketing planning, marketing emphasis that can make them successful or more successful?
You know, and unfortunately, there are, producers who make the decision not to be involved. The point being that, you know, whether you're involved in the futures market or not, you are involved. It does affect what goes on with cash prices at times and vice versa. They're connected pretty tight at times. And so, getting involved with a broker or getting involved with, any of the other types of resources, a banker, someone that can advise you on good opportunities, really essential in being successful. They put so much into the resources of time and effort and finances and getting the crop in the ground and growing it throughout the year. You don't want to drop the ball at the end with the marketing.
Back to those Monday afternoon reports. There will be a time a few weeks down the road when we'll shift from watching planting progress into watching crop development and crop conditions. When it comes to those conditions later in the season, will you pay much attention to them? I mean, looking back at what happened last year at the end of the day with yields better than expected, will the market maybe play down those a little bit when it comes to crop conditions?
I think, producers and traders always keep that in mind, as we get out through the summer and maybe we have, certain dry periods or, maybe circumstances where there's too much rain at times. I think, the price spikes that those provide absolutely should be taken advantage of by producers. But in the end, what comes at the end of the season is what counts. But at the same time, as we go through the season, those types of events are always kept in mind.
There will still be some emotional reaction along the way, you think?
Oh, absolutely.
And that's, farmers can take advantage of that.
Yes, they can. As prices climb on emotion in the market, that always makes for opportunity. Volatility makes for opportunity. And so, they just have to stay aware and keep in mind what's a good price for them in their marketing plan.
Donna Hughes, thanks for coming in. Congratulations to you as you make that switch from Daniels Trading to CAPE, I believe is the name of the company, right?
CAPE & Son out of Abilene, Texas.
Good to talk to you.
Thank you.
For more than 150 years, CME Group has been built with your confidence. Without it, we simply wouldn't be in business. Today, we continue to work on new and better ways to protect you and grow your confidence in the markets. After all, it's our vigilance that brings you the peace of mind you need today and in the future. CME Group. Advance with confidence.
Cattle feeders and producers will be watching the markets on Monday to see how they react to the monthly cattle on feed report issued this afternoon by the USDA. And here are the expectations along with the actual percentage. Number of cattle on feed April 1st, expected to be down up 7.5%. That number came in 9% higher than a year ago. The number of cattle placed in feedlots in March, a little more than 10% down from a year ago. The trade was looking for a 9% drop in that category. The number of cattle marketed in March, right on target. Trade was looking for 4% less than a year ago, and that's where the number came in. And a reaction from one trader friend of mine is placements a little higher than average, guess, is negative. And they could see feeders down $2 to $3 Monday, live cattle down $2 in the June contract Monday. So numbers going both ways in that cattle futures market on Monday, reacting to what they see today in the cattle on feed report. Farm bill, of course, was voted out of committee by the House Agriculture Committee this week. Happened on the 18th of April. And the committee on the House wrote some strong legislation for sheep producers. We don't talk much about the sheep market, but they were pleased with what they saw on the House right of the Farm Bill. They were pleased by strong legislation for sheep producers with new authorization of funding for minor use, minor species, pharmaceutical development. That's a top ask of the American Sheep Industry Association. This program for pharmaceuticals development and labeling for American application critical for minor species such as sheep. And the American Sheep Industry Association said it was pleased with the opportunity for annual funding under the U.S. Department of Agriculture with the cooperation of FDA's Center for Veterinary Medicine. We're looking at forest fires in some of the wheat states, but they also produce cattle. And livestock producers who lost animals to recent wildfires may qualify for the USDA Farm Service Agency's Livestock Indemnity Program. LIP provides assistance to producers who have experienced abnormal livestock mortalities due to a number of eligible loss conditions, among them adverse weather, disease outbreaks, attacks by animals that are reintroduced by the government, like wolves, and then wildfires. The recent wildfires in northwestern Oklahoma will qualify as an adverse weather-related loss. So if in your area you've had that experience because of the wildfires, by all means, talk to the Farm Service Agency people to find out what you must do to qualify for assistance under the LIP program. So as we look at markets this week, where did we end? Well, we livestock cattle futures did go up today, and that happened with nearby contracts supported by firm cash markets, some strong wholesale beef values as well. And, of course, they were positioning for the cattle on feed report that we've already talked about. So let's take a look at where we're going to start the market on Monday. The livestock market, July hogs ended the day at $80.02 a hundredweight, losing 67 cents. The June live cattle market ended the day at $103.95. That was a gain of 95 cents a hundredweight. And the April feeder cattle contract will start the week Monday at $138.62 after gaining $1.40 a hundredweight in today's market. Weather a factor in the grain market today because of some fairly favorable weather, at least traders think so, warming up and maybe getting rid of snow cover. So we lost money on wheat, corn, and soybeans today, and so it could be a weaker opening on Monday. Thank you for joining us. Thank you for listening to The Markets, sponsored by the CME Group.